Quitting Time on your Thursday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russ LeBaire back with you doing the thing here on The Drive in the Top 5 at 5 this afternoon, brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Number one, the Chiefs-Bucks game will be held in Tampa after all. They were thinking about moving that thing up to Minneapolis because of Hurricane Ian, but looks like Tampa's emerged relatively unscathed. Yeah.
That thing took a right turn right as it got close to shore.
It's supposed to be up near Charleston about this time tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a humongous tropical storm now.
But they're saying there is a small chance it could elevate back to a Category 1 hurricane by the time it gets to Charleston.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of rain. A lot of wind, a lot of rain.
Yeah, just depends on how warm the – I guess the water's warm.
Number two, Cleveland Browns defensive end Myles Garrett was issued a citation for failure to control his motor vehicle in the wake of his single-car crash on Monday. Huh. Garrett also was traveling at a, quote, unsafe speed for the type of roadway he was on, which contributed to the accident. According to the crash report released to ESPN, Garrett was driving 65 on a road with a 45-mile-per-hour speed limit. So not
terrible.
Not reckless, but going a little faster than he should have been.
Come on, man.
Suffered a left shoulder sprain and a right bicep strain, as well as cuts and bruises after his vehicle went off the side of the road and flipped over. It's scary, man.
Do you have anybody in the car with him?
Yeah, he had a young lady, I believe. Don't quote me on that. I believe he saw that he had a passenger, female passenger. Look that up for you. Number three, Major League Baseball this afternoon. They're in the bottom of the eighth at Wrigley. Cubs 2, Phillies nothing. Earlier today, it was the White Sox beating the Twins in Minnesota 4-3. Tigers beat the Royals in Detroit Rock City 10-3. And the Red Sox beat the Orioles 5-3 in American League East action. Number four, NCAA has placed Air Force's football program on probation for 2 years and issued other penalties for recruiting violations committed during COVID-19 dead periods. If Air Force was breaking the COVID rules in recruiting, you know where everybody was. I feel a lot – I don't feel good about it, but, like, obviously that was something that Pruitt was doing, allegedly. We'll see. And Herm Edwards, I guess.
Everybody.
Air Force was doing it.
Was Air Force just flying them in? Air Force cargo planes?
Evidently. NCAA said the academy and four individuals involved in the alleged allegations reached an agreement with enforcement staff about penalties. A fifth unnamed individual is fighting the allegations. His case will be resolved through an infractions hearing. It's interesting, right? I wonder, Air Force being a service academy, they're probably not having this conversation that we're having here in the Southeast about whether or not to cooperate with the NCAA. I could see them just, like, doing the morally right thing.
I don't think it involves morals. It involves code of conduct, yeah. Code of honor, the honor code, the uniform code of military justice. And I imagine that administratively, anybody in administration that had no idea anything like that was going on, that there's going to be some people. This kind of thing where, I mean,
they're not falling all over themselves to save their football program or basketball program schools.
Somebody are. Could people get fired over this, up to and including Calhoun.
Finally, number five, with just hours to go until their game against the Bengals, the Dolphins are trying to do the impossible. They're trying to get something erased from the internet.
Is that Tua getting his brain scrambled?
Well, once it's on the internet, it's almost impossible to get erased.
Man.
Dolphins are finding out the hard way after some of their practice footage leaked online Wednesday.
I heard about this, actually.
Footage was taken during a team walkthrough that was held at Nippert Stadium, which is the home of the Cincinnati Bearcats. Dolphins weren't supposed to hold any practices in Cincinnati this week, but those plans had to change because of the hurricane. And They were forced to leave earlier than they planned for the trip, and I guess they're practicing up there at the Bearcat Stadium. So the problem was they're practicing there. It's basically a central location on campus of the University of Cincinnati. Students are walking by it all day, and I guess people are just, you know, there's the Miami Dolphins practicing. They're just whipping out their phones and taking footage and posting it on the internet.
Is on the internet, apparently. That sucks for them, man.
Yeah, so they're trying to get it taken down.
And good luck with that.
Yeah. Probably.
There's only certain things that they've been able to, and I'm sure they're out there somewhere, but you'd have to probably go on the deep web. But they did a pretty thorough, clean job on that god awful stuff that those idiots took pictures of their personal cell phones when. Kobe Bryant's helicopter crashed.
Some things you just don't want to see in life.
Ugh.
All right. That is the top five at five. It's brought to you, as I said, by our friends at FanDuel. Football season is underway, so now's the perfect time to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with our promo code DRIVE1 so they know we sent you. And you can get in on that action tonight. Bengals a 3.5-point favorite at home against the Miami Dolphins. And that's kind of curious when you look at the records and the narratives around those two teams so far this season. But if you haven't seen the Dolphins play, this will be a good chance to check out Mike McDaniel's squad. They got an over-under of 48.5. And if you like the Dolphins, it's plus 158 on the money line there as well. Sign up. Use our promo code DRIVE1 over at FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. And as always, you get your winnings paid fast over at FanDuel. Sign up today with promo code DRIVE1 for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code DRIVE1 and make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. As always, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Russell and Bear, open lines the rest of the way. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on board. Let's go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines where Haji is up next. Hello, Haji.
What?
Oh, Haji, a little rough connection there. Can we try that again?
On FanDuel, how am I doing now?
Much better, thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hear me?
Right. Yes.
If you're not on FanDuel, what are you waiting on? They're giving money away every week.
It's pretty fantastic.
Right over.
Yeah, you got any picks you like this week?
Cincinnati tonight, all over Cincinnati tonight. I've got a same game parlay with Higgins receiving, Mixon rushing, Higgins touchdown, and Cincinnati minus 3.5. So, yes, I'm all over Cincinnati.
Hey, Haji, do you know anything about fantasy?
Yeah.
I got a dilemma.
Fantasy football. Fantasy football. I just want to make sure we keep
PG. I know
he's
big
here.
Into the Dungeons and Dragons. But, I can either start Joe Burrow tonight or Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. I hate this, Russ.
Is this our league, the one
totals.
I'm in?
I think it's probably going to be low scoring in Green Bay, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's going to be Brian Hoyer probably playing. You're going to get a lot of Ramondre Stevenson probably in rushing for New England. But Hoyer's capable. I don't like that 9.5 or whatever, but I think Burrow's going to have a field day, to be honest, tonight. I just love them tonight. Miami's 3-0, Cincinnati's 1-2, and you're given over a field goal. Cincinnati's laying over a field goal. It's just, you know, they're begging you to take Miami. So it's my favorite night game of the year so far, Cincinnati tonight. So we'll see what happens. I may be crying in my beer, but.
T. Higgins had a sick. Did you see that catch? And it wasn't even a touchdown.
Yeah.
They wouldn't review
it. I thought he got the feet down. They didn't even review it, it seemed like.
No, they reviewed it and said, I think they said the call stands, even though it was obvious that he toe-tapped it and got both feet down.
Like
I mean, that kid's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm looking forward to tonight.
He's sort of he wears 85. It could just as easily be 15. You know, he wins those jump balls
every time.
But I want to shout out to Rusty. When I moved to L.A., I lived in Redondo Beach, which is this basically the same strand as Manhattan and Hermosa. But I did get food poisoning at Uncle Bill's Pancake House. So maybe when he calls back, he can give us a review of Uncle Bill's. I know they're still open, so that was a long time ago. I just got a bad egg. It happens.
I will take your word for it. Note to self, Uncle Bill's, hashtag stay away.
One thing you did not learn from Louis and Zika, you know what that is, right?
What's that?
Jacksonville's the team to beat. You heard it on this show somewhere.
What are you doing?
It on this show somewhere. The win totals currently are Indianapolis 8.5, Tennessee and Jacksonville 7.5, and Houston 3.5.
I do like Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence. I think that is a much better setup to go from Urban Meyer and that train wreck to what they've got now, a guy who's got some Super Bowl credentials already. I think that's a great setup. But I concede nothing to the Jags, Haji. Not this year anyway.
Like I do, if you've got Trevor Lawrence and Carson Wentz on your team, I'm starting – forever.
Oh, without a doubt.
With Philadelphia, that should be a shootout, I would think. But so Indy's still the favorite. I've got Jacksonville, my largest bet of the year so far is on Jacksonville over 6.5 wins, and now it's 7.5, so I feel pretty good about it. I didn't like that they play the West, you know, the AFC West, but then they almost all, three of them lost last week, and the Denver looked terrible in their win, so maybe the AFC West isn't all it's cracked up to be.
How about the Eagles being a damn offensive juggernaut this year with Hurts? A lot of people, myself included, are going to have to – I mean, I don't know if he wins a Super Bowl or anything like that there, but I did not think he would still be starting at this point in his career. But he's been fantastic.
He sure has. I've got them over 10.5. They're now 12.5. And so that's the only other bet I have on the future is under 7.5 for your
Haji. I will hit
the
button.
I'm sorry. I don't. I just go with what I think.
Seven wins, really? Seven? That's what you're giving my boys?
Well, you know, and here's another thing. I said Monday to a friend of mine. I said, if the Titans do happen to lose this week, I wouldn't be surprised if they consider trading Henry now this year. Okay. While they can get something good for him. You know, if he's losing a step now, is he going to lose two steps next year? I think he's got more value now than he will at the end of the season. So I don't think they're going to do that in the middle of the season, but yeah. It wouldn't shock me.
It would shock me. I mean, I see what you're saying, and I don't have him, you know, chiseled in stone as being on the team next season, but that would be a bold move to trade the franchise in the middle of the season. Now, if it goes terribly south or something like that, and maybe we reevaluate that. But, I mean, we're still playing. Haji. We're still in this thing. We're swinging.
Three games in. Yeah, anything can happen. I'll give you a few quick college ones. I won't bet them until Saturday, but I'm looking at Texas San Antonio tomorrow night. They're playing at Middle.
At Middle, a 4.5-point dog at home. I know that San Antonio is a solid mid-major program right now, but, I mean, did I imagine them just beating the hell out of Miami down there?
No, that's it. Okay. You know, it's a big letdown spot, and that's just one of those automatic plays that a program-defining win is usually followed up by an egg laying. So, they win at Miami by two touchdowns. Now they come home, and they're – catching points to UTSA just makes no sense. So again, that's how I think about this stuff. Anyway, Florida State's a touchdown favorite over Wake, and Wake looked pretty dang good in their only loss to Clemson last week. Could have won that game. So I'm looking at FSU maybe this week. Air Force, I think, is going to run all over Navy. Navy's down this year, and Air Force is the leading rushing team in the nation. You know how they do that. So, and that total's only like 38, so it'll probably be like a 24-7 game, something like that, maybe. And then Mississippi Mistake, more than a field goal favored over A&M. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I like State in that way. I don't think A&M's any good, man.
Not offensively, sure. And Mississippi State can score for sure. And I wouldn't be surprised if Oklahoma lost their second game in a row at TCU this week. Everybody seems to have forgotten that Lincoln Riley went to USC.
Yeah.
So new country system, same old schedule early, but now they're in the conference and it didn't work out last week with Kansas State at home. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're under a touchdown favorite. Maybe they lose again.
See, we're LSU is up to 8.5 on FanDuel at Auburn.
Yeah, it opened at 6 and went to 9, and I thought, you know, they're going to just steamroll them because Auburn is probably maybe the worst team. Is it Vanderbilt, Missouri, or Auburn? Auburn got lucky to win that game last week at home. If they were on the road, they would have lost.
Is that their third-string quarterback now? Is that what the deal is? I know Finley's not playing.
Got hurt.
In his return.
Finley and Calzada are down there playing a freshman who just runs around.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're probably going to get blasted. They know they're playing for dead man walking.
I hope they're looking forward to next week. But for our sake, you know, I hope they look good and run it up. And Jaden Daniels has a good game. And then he's going to be a yo-yo. And he's going to run for his life next week. And
well, if I'm Tank Bigsby and I got nicked at all, I'm shutting it down for the year. I'm serious.
Haji, who do you like? There's some rumblings that if that goes as expected, that Auburn might go ahead and pull the plug on Brian Harsin on Sunday. Any thoughts on who might be next up down on the Plains?
No, but you know what I keep thinking about? I'm going to say no right now, but anyway, you know, what I keep thinking about was when I saw Kiffin talking about the fans leaving at halftime, and Houston Nutt left Ole Miss for Arkansas, right? And Tuberville left for Auburn. Mm-hmm. I could see maybe that be an option.
History repeats
itself.
For
that cocky, you know what.
Well, yeah, I mean, of all the names, like if Auburn is just going to insist upon being dysfunctional and having boosters running the show and – you know, the fan base is crazy and they don't have an athletics director and just all the stuff that's been going on down there for years, then you might as well go all in with Lane, because it seems counterintuitive. Like maybe you want a steady hand at the wheel if everything else is going to be so crazy down there. But I almost feel like if there's a guy that's made to thrive in that kind of chaos, it's one Lanier Kiffin.
Yeah. Yeah, did you tweet something about Urban? Or did I see that somewhere else? But
not lately.
Bobby Bowden, he made the right move. They joined the ACC because he said it's easier to win the national championship than it is to win the SEC. If you're in the ACC, it's easier to win the national championship, which he was right. And Urban got out when Saban got it going. And he went to, you know, Ohio State because he wasn't through coaching, obviously. But it's too soon for him to, you know, go to Auburn. He wouldn't do that, I don't think. I just saw that. But maybe because since what's this boy you're saving, signed an extension, he's going to be there for a little while. He'd rather see an easier route somewhere. I don't know what's going to happen with the Big 12 and the Pac-12, you know. So I don't know what kind of coaches and players are going to be out there on the market, but it's going to be fun to find out.
All right, Haji, we got to run, my friend. Thank you.
Good. Thanks.
Stay with us. The drive continues. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Matlock Tire. The Docket, brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro attorneys. Golfer Patrick Reed's attorneys have refiled his $750 million defamation lawsuit against the Golf Channel and analyst Brandel Chamblee in federal court in Jacksonville today, while adding another Golf Channel employee and media groups to the complaint. Lawsuit accuses the Golf Channel, Golf Week, and its parent company Gannett of, as well as employees Chamblee, Damon Hack, Shane Bacon, and Eamon Lynch, of conspiracy, defamation, injurious falsehoods, and tortious interference.
Tortious interference? What is this guy crybabying about now?
Well, I mean, everybody's ripping him and the LIV tour, and he feels wronged. Lawsuit alleges the defendants are co-conspirators for their, quote, anti-competitive conduct and anti-competitive practices in order to destroy the upstart LIV Golf Tour, Mr. Reed, and fellow LIV golf players in order to annihilate any competition with the PGA Tour and DP World Tour, even if it means violating antitrust laws and going to extreme and scandalous measures to conspire to defame, falsely injure, and tortiously interfere with Mr. Reed, fellow LIV Tours players, and LIV Golf.
It's already been thrown out once, right? And what's he thinking? It's going to go back.
Unlikable.
Yeah. You know about how much judges like, I mean, it's going to end up in front of some of the same judges. They aren't known for changing their minds on stuff like this.
Well, I mean, I'm no legal expert. I don't know what's fair or not, but it seems to me, as somebody that works in the media, that, you know, Brandel Chamblee is a commentator, and some of these other guys, they work for the Golf Channel, and they're paid to give their opinions, and a lot of golf people don't like this. Not only just a lot of golf people, a lot of sports people, a lot of people who are just turned off by Saudi, by sports washing, whatever you want to call it. And I don't see how that is. I mean, the last time I checked, this is the United States. It's not Saudi Arabia. And if I want to get on the radio or the television and say, I don't like this group coming in and hurting the sport and the league that I love, I should be able to say that.
Yeah.
You don't like it, do something about it. Don't sue.
I mean, they didn't say anything like false.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Spain, España, a Spanish judge approved a trial for Colombian pop singer Shakira on charges of tax fraud.
It's trumped up, Russell. I'm on Team Shakira.
Spanish prosecutors accused the entertainer of 2018 of failing to pay 14.5 million euros, roughly $13.9 million in taxes on income earned between 2012 and 2014. Prosecutors are seeking an 8-year prison sentence and a hefty fine.
This is that story where you said it happens, right? Like Spain's known for pulling this.
This happens all the time. It happened to Ronaldo. It happened to Messi. It happened to some basketball players over there.
Is she currently in España?
It's a good question.
If she's not, my advice would be I would
never go there again.
Yeah, just call them. They aren't going to. Let them try and kidnap Shakira.
Well, obviously Messi and Ronaldo did not go to prison. I feel like
they're trying to shake this. They're shaking this young lady down for money, and it's wrong.
It's an outrage.
She's giving the world so much joy. They need to lay off of her.
Well,
you a big Shakira fan?
I couldn't name you one of her. Well, she does the Hips Don't Lie, right? That's her thing.
I don't know any others.
But I can't imagine she would go to prison for that. That'd be very sad. Very sad. Shakira in prison.
Maybe she'd run a good album.
Yeah.
The prison record.
Worked for Johnny Cash.
David Allan Coe. Johnny Cash wasn't in prison.
Well, no, but he performed at prison. Yeah. So was David Allan Coe in prison?
I'm pretty sure he was. And then I think Tupac or somebody recorded a pretty decent record from prison. Smuggled the tapes out. Then your guys that you and T-Fair love.
Who's that?
The guy who got his eye blown off and the other, his buddy's taking a picture of him.
Oh, Bushwick Bill, the Ghetto Boys?
Yeah. It's an old drive staple. You and Terry think.
That is the docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro Attorneys. Online at foxandfarmer.com. Call them to set up a free, no obligation consultation at Fox and Farmer. They don't get paid unless you get paid. That's the deal. 865-531-9400. What do you got to lose? Give them a call today. 865-531-9400 for Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro Attorneys. Well, we have open lines for the first time in quite a while this afternoon on the show. If you want to jump in, now's a great time to take a shot at 865-546-8200. The Big Orange Phillies phone lines, wide open, 546-8200. Did you see where Boise's quarterback has entered the portal?
Yes, and I also saw that Luther from the receiver, I can't remember his last name.
Borden.
Luther Borden III from Missouri is questionable for this week's game all of a sudden. Plot thickens.
Yeah.
It's warmer down here in Knoxville, well, Luther. That's all I'm saying. We kind of, I don't know if you noticed this, we toss the football around.
Yeah.
We hum the tater.
I think it would be bad for Mizzou, obviously, to lose him. The Boise thing is a little bit different. The Boise thing is a little bit different because that kid has been their starting quarterback for like 3 years. And
is he injured?
He wants to play somewhere else next year. Hank Bachmeier is the kid's name. He was a pretty highly touted guy coming out of school. He's like a 4-star guy, had some other decent offers, but he went to Boise because quick path to the, you know, Boise, it's a good school and quick path to playing. He started 29 games in his career.
Wow. What's his record?
There. I don't know, whatever Boise's record has been the past couple of years. But it's interesting. I mean, this is not good. It's not good for college football. And he might – listen, this is the rules. It's like what Hyman Roth told Michael in The Godfather 2, this is the game, the business we have chosen. But it's not good, man, for that Boise program.
It's not good for college football for stuff like this to be going on.
You start the first 4 games of the season – and you're thinking you want to transfer, so you go ahead and jump in the portal. You quit on your team, and let's call it what it is. He quits on his team to go in the portal so that he can have another year of eligibility. And you're basically blowing up their season.
Yeah. Wow. Well, NCAA didn't want to do anything forever about any of this stuff, and this is what happens. This is what happens, Larry.
Yeah, he had a long offer sheet of Power 5 schools, Georgia, Minnesota, UCLA, and
– yeah, I mean, this kid, he'll find somebody. I mean, hell, if we were looking for a quarterback, we'd be wanting to kick the tires on him.
So, they're thinking that he wants to go and play at a Power 5 school. Yeah, Boise started 2-2 this year. They got blowed out by UTEP last week. And they've got the new coach there, Andy Avalos, who took over for Auburn guy Harsin. And so he fired the OC and replaced him with Dirk Cutter, who, if that name sounds familiar, A, it's because the name is Dirk Cutter, and that's just a cool name. But B, he was also the head coach there before.
Dirk Diggler.
That's pretty ballsy. Of a young head coach you've never heard of, Andy Avalos, pressing the panic button, you fire your OC and bring in a guy who used to be the head coach at your school. You're not doing well there.
Pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
Confident.
Dirk, push him out the door and take his old gig back, right?
You think Dirk's a cool name?
Do you not?
No.
You don't think Dirk is a cool name?
Dirk
is not a cool name. Dirk is an awesome name. I need to pitch that, by the way. My brother, who I'm sure will love me talking about this on the radio, they're having a
boy.
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with a name.
Do not recommend that Dirk.
Dirk Smith.
Dirk Smith. Dirk. It's dumbest name ever.
Awesome name. Name me a bad Dirk. Can't do it. Dirk Cutter, Dirk Diggler. Those are the only two Dirks you know.
Geez, I almost did it again.
I guess they're both pretty average when you think about it. Well, you know, there's certain things about Diggler that were not beyond average, but intelligence-wise, he didn't measure up, as I recall. Chris is next. Good afternoon, Chris. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Well, you know, there is Dirk Nowitzki.
Hey! That's a very good Dirk.
He's never a big Nowitzki fan.
But yeah, y'all were mentioning The Godfather. If y'all, you're not watched The Offer, it's on Paramount Plus.
Yes.
It is incredible.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I'm looking forward to when it's been enough time so I can rewatch it again. Giovanni Ribisi was incredible in that. But hold on. Do you know who was standing in the background, either one of you guys, in that scene where the Hyman Roth scene in Godfather 2?
He was in several scenes of what?
Where he was talking about the rules. It was he had his birthday cake and Michael was meeting
they're out there on the
Corrado Soprano Jr.
Oh, nice.
He's in that movie. Yeah.
All those Italian guys were like, they're like the, it's like all the American Indians who are in the, anytime, hey, we need an Italian, let's put
There's one guy that was in The Godfather, Goodfellas, Sopranos.
Oh, I know, yeah, the.
And one other. It's, Big Carmine. The actor's name was Tony Lip.
Well, the guy who played, what's the younger brother, the weak, bumbling younger brother of the Corleone family?
Oh, Fredo.
Fredo. Like, that guy was in three films. Like, he's a stage actor, right?
Oh, he's fantastic.
He was in three movies, and I think he was nominated for an Oscar in all three of them, and he ended up passing away right after the third one.
Yeah, he had
brain cancer, right?
No, bladder. Bladder cancer. But, yeah. John... He was in Dog Day After, The Godfather, Deer Hunter, and Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Jack Cazale.
I can't think of his last name.
Cazale.
Speaking of TV shows, this got brought up about a month ago. Bear, because of your recommendation, I watched Goliath. It was incredible. With Billy Bob Thornton on Amazon Prime.
It's kind of freaky, man. It's a little weird in that third season.
Season two was okay, but seasons 1, 3, and 4 were excellent. I love law shows, so.
Season 2 got a little freaky.
Yeah, I didn't really like that, but I'd skip that one. But 1, 3, and 4 were great.
Yeah. Russ hadn't watched it. He's got too much on his plate, apparently.
And Blackbird, I just finished it on Apple TV with
Taron
Egerton and Ray Liotta. And the guy that plays the crazy dude, his acting job was incredible.
Yeah.
Larry Hall. That was the guy. He was in he played Richard Jewell, and he was actually in Cobra Kai as a minor character, but
he was a sick puppy, wasn't he?
He plays the crazy psychopath lunatic incredibly well.
Spoiler alert.
But, I'm really not that worried about LSU.
Chris is
failed a segue.
I'm really not. I mean, I was worried about Florida just because it's Florida. But, according to Ed Orgeron, hookers do great in Baton Rouge. So I'm really not that worried about it.
Oh, ogre kiss of death. Oh. I didn't even get it. I thought you were being serious.
Bears dialed in, Chris.
Yeah, but, that's what Ed O says. Hookers do great in Baton Rouge, so he would know. All right, see ya.
Thank you, Chris. Let's get Matthew in here next on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Good afternoon, Matthew.
Hey, fellas. How we doing today?
Doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I'll be quick here. I just had to call in to let all of Vol Nation, if you get a chance tonight, Russell, Bear, y'all need to get on Twitter. I'm a little emotional reading this, but Arian Foster put out a little short 8-minute, YouTube video from his podcast, Microdosing, that he does with Barstool. And he kind of opens up to why he had never came back to Tennessee for so long, talks about, why he was so, bitter. And then he thanks Vol Nation at the very end and says, basically he opens up and explains that he was battling something internal. It's a really cool video. As a kid that grew up watching Arian Foster, it was sad to see him, have so much hatred and resentment towards the university. But it sounds like he finally got whatever he was battling, and he fixed it. And I just wanted to share that. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Matthew. I've seen some of this. I did not even know that he had been back in town, but I saw some of those pictures circulating today. I'll go back and check that out. I mean, obviously a lightning rod figure in Tennessee, recent Tennessee football history.
He never got me that riled up because I just took everything he did with a grain of salt. The whole pterodactyl thing was one of the funniest things I've ever – that cracked me up.
Well, I don't remember every little thing he did, but obviously, you know, he had a lot of, you know, just kind of silly stuff like that. But the one thing that stuck in my craw was when he was at the height of his NFL – his great NFL career. I mean, it's a great story to go from undrafted to the best running back in football for a couple of years. But when he came out and gave the whole interview about
the tacos,
yeah, basically admitting to NCAA violations, and it felt like he wanted to get the football program in trouble at a time when the NCAA still was capable of levying some pretty harsh sanctions.
At the end of the day, I mean, I'll let bygones be bygones.
Well, I will, but I'm just recapping like what
I got you.
What his journey has been. And I think that he just always struck me as emotionally, very emotionally immature. I can say that as somebody who is also fits into that category at times. And I hope he's grown up a little bit and let go of some of the hatred and ill feelings, because you know Tennessee helped him out a lot too, and that should be a symbiotic relationship. There are a lot of guys who have a lot more legitimate beef with Tennessee and the football program over there than Arian Foster. I'm sure everybody has their negative experiences when you go to an institution of higher learning for 4 years.
I mean, they don't call it the big orange screw for nothing.
But Arian Foster came to Tennessee, a lightly heralded three-star running back, and left a great college football player and went on to have a great NFL career. I fail to see how Arian Foster was wronged by Tennessee, but hopefully.
Well, the minute it sounds like he's made his peace. Yeah. And I saw the videos of him on the field. He looked – it was really cool seeing Arian back on the field and back home. So –
let's take a quick break. It's our final timeout of the program. Couple lines available if you want to jump in. Take a shot now. Speak now, forever hold your peace. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up. 865-546-8200. 546-8200 if you want to jump on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. We're back to wrap things up right after this.
The Drive.
Back here on the drive, it's Fan Run Radio. By the way, John Cazale, it was actually five films that he appeared in.
Okay.
And all were nominated for Academy Awards.
Name them.
The Godfather.
Incredible.
The Conversation.
Never seen that.
With Hackman, good car chases. Good spy movie. Oh, yeah, great movie. Godfather 2.
Okay.
Dog Day Afternoon. Which was in 1975, and then he went back to the theater for a couple of years. He came back. His final film was The Deer Hunter in 1978. Passed away in March 13th, 1978. He was diagnosed with lung cancer in 77, chose to complete his role in The Deer Hunter, passed away shortly thereafter. I believe he was either dated or was married to Meryl Streep.
So it was lung cancer. And he what? Now, wait a minute. He decided to forego treatment and finish the film?
No, I don't know about that. You got lung cancer. Not going well for you. Probably go ahead and hang it up, but he finished filming. You ever seen The Deer Hunter?
Not in a long, 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 long time. Like, I could rewatch it again.
That movie was always so strange to me because a lot of it is freaking boring. Like they're at some like Greek Orthodox wedding for the first hour or so of it. And they're like hunting deer in Pennsylvania or something. And then all of a sudden there's like a hard cut and they're in Vietnam and they're in a Vietnamese prison camp. And it is just like harrowing to watch. Like it's uncomfortable to watch because they're like, they're being kept in the water and like almost drowning them on purpose. And then they only pull them up to make them play Russian roulette, which is De Niro and Christopher Walken. And like those scenes where they're making them play Russian roulette are just like, you're just watching it like grinding your teeth. Like, I can't look.
Who's going to blow their brains out?
It's awful. Intense movie. But yeah, the rest of it is like freaking boring. It's like 20 minutes of action and it's like 3 hours. It's like 3 hours long.
It's another movie. Full Metal Jacket. It's like two separate.
Yeah.
Like a 30-minute short film, and then it just goes completely insane once they go to Vietnam.
You see the – speaking of Arian Foster and the Barstool guys, did you see the Theo Von thing?
Uh-uh. I don't think I did.
So for you folks who are a little older, nothing wrong with that. Theo Von is a young stand-up comic, and he's big into – he's big social media – darling and all that stuff. But he is at the game with one of the Barstool guys this week. He doesn't really have any ties to Tennessee, but he came up for the game to hang out with friends. And somehow he ends up on the field.
How does that happen?
As he's hanging out with the Barstool guys, they probably have press pass or field credentials.
Oh, this guy, the redneck. He's the redneck kid that ended, he grew up in the hood.
Yeah, so he gets down on the field. And he has this video talking about this. It's pretty funny. For like 2 or 3 minutes, he's talking about it. He had never been to Tennessee, and it's all orange. And he obviously has no frame of reference for Tennessee football. But he ends up on the field with his crazy Barstool buddy. And our field security, which does not come off well in this, is like somewhat less than stringent. And anyway, they eventually end up not just on the field, but on the Tennessee sideline. And they're like talking to our players and – celebrating
the
and
game?
Stuff. Yes. And he said, he goes, I'm honestly surprised they didn't put me in the game at one point. And he says, so they decide as the clock's winding down that they're going to go grab the Gatorade and dump it on Heupel. Just two randos on the sideline, not players, no way connected to the program. They're going to go dump the Gatorade on Heupel.
Did they accomplish it?
Well, they go over, and there's a guy there that, like, shuts him down and says, no. And he says, no Gatorade on the coach. If you're going to do it, use the water. And so they grab water. And then, and this is on video, by the way. These guys are, like, running like madmen after the game around the field. They can't find Heupel. They're running in circles. And they finally see him as he's approaching midfield for his post-game handshake. And, they doused him with the water.
I kind of don't blame Heupel for the having a water only rule, because I mean, you know, he's got to go right in there and pretty quickly.
You don't want to be sticky.
You don't want to be sitting there for, you know, post game press availability being sticky, and he's not going to have time to talk to his team, shower.
I don't even know if it was his rule. That might have just been some guy doing Heupel a solid.
Sound like he said, Coach, I have no Gatorade on Coach Heupel.
I mean, perhaps a better response would have been, "Who the hell are you? Get off the sideline."
I'd have been like, you're funny, but you need to get out of here.
Yeah.
He is. Have you seen his stuff?
Oh, yeah.
He's a funny dude.
I'm familiar with Theo. He's funny. But good story anyway. All right, let's work in a call from Roger. Hey, folks, tomorrow we'll be at National RX in West Knoxville at the Piping Hot Jets Pizza. Wrapping up the week with you. Come out and see me tomorrow, National RX in Farragut. What's up, Rog?
Not much. What's not doing good? Hey, y'all doing tonight?
Doing excellently, thank you.
Well, good. Well, I just wanted to talk to you. I talked to you. Just wanted to talk about the involved man at beating Florida. So, are you still happy and excited about Tennessee win? It's awesome, wasn't it? That the Tennessee beat Florida. I ain't got to talk to you since then. You feel excited and happy about the game? Are you over? Are you move on? Are you still kind of excited and happy about Tennessee being Florida? Tyree Russell.
Raj, I'm still riding the wave of just sheer joy. I'm going to let it last. I love having the off week this week because if we were playing LSU Saturday, we'd already have turned the page and
we wouldn't have had time to enjoy it.
Yeah, this is just great timing, the way the schedule worked out this year.
Oh, yeah. It has, Russ. We need this to rest after a big win and everything. So, yeah, it's good timing on that, everything. 4-0 now. And you think, Russell, do you think that you think Tennessee's mature, and you think the team is better after finding a way to win at the end?
You think the team is more mature, you've got the best offense in college football right now. You have a defense that's obviously got some work to do, but they can outscore people. And I don't think that they are on par with what Alabama and Georgia are doing right now. I think they've got a ways to go catch up there. But I think they can definitely play with LSU next week. And the amount of people that are saying, look, man, a 10-2 record is on the table. Yeah, they're definitely better. This has a chance to be the best football season Tennessee's had in 15 years since 2007, the last time they went to the SEC championship game. So this is a terrific start, but they got to keep it going, Raj.
You're right, and for defense wise, you think it can get a little better. You think a little better?
Well, it's hard to get much worse. It's hard to get much worse, Raj. I would experiment with some new players, particularly in the secondary, but they haven't asked me. I'm beginning to think they never will. I think they can get a little bit better. I think massive improvement is not likely at this point, but man, you're 96th overall in total defense. It should be better than that. So,
we'll see
what happens.
Hey, you're right, and the game this weekend, Russell. I guess the new game this weekend, though, it's fun to see. Are you kind of excited about the game this weekend, Russell?
Great games this weekend. I'm going to be releasing my picks later tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the show. But yeah, full slate of SEC games and a couple of other good college games elsewhere in the region, in the country as well. So, looking forward to it, Raj. We're out of time, man. Thanks for the phone call. Great hearing from you. For Bear, I'm Russell. We got overtime headed your way next. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hey, Big Orange Country. There's a new